please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. This morning I'll be preaching through verses 7 through 21. John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Pray with me. Our God, again, we thank you for your word and your truth. And we pray that you open it to us, that you'll show us, Father, what to do with it, how it should change us, how it should transform us. Not just in a broad way, but God, specifically. Specific ways how we interact with other people, how we treat specific people, specific groups. God, the things that we do with our time, may it all be changed for your glory as we live through Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How much does Christ influence your every moment, your every decision, your every thought, how you decide to spend your time? We saw in the one psalm that David said he puts the Lord before him continuously. He's always there. Well, this is the mindset we are to have. We see in these verses that we actually live through Christ. Now, in one way, that's just dealing with your salvation. You're not dead anymore, but you're alive through Christ. You have heaven to look forward to. You have seeing Christ face to face to look forward to. But if that reality doesn't change your moment-to-moment living, the question is it a reality? Are you in Christ? Are you living in favor, in God's favor? Has he smiled upon you? Are you resting in him? See, these verses are life. They are to bring you alive. They are to show you who you are. They are to show you who Christ is and what he's done. And then one of the main ways that this is done is to rely on the love God has shown you. And what love has God's shown you. I've come to the realization that a lot of times the way we treat someone or the way we feel about someone is influenced by how they feel about us. You know, I have a professor, or had a professor, that I loved. I loved this guy. And when I was around him, I showed it. I showed him that I loved him. I would listen to what he said. I would consider what he said. I would look it up, and I'd bring him questions. And he loved it. But I can tell he has a lot of students, because when I see him again, it's like he forgets how much he loves me. Until we spend some time together, and he sees that I still really love this guy. You know, and then I see it again. He's like, oh, okay, this is the student that loved me. This is the student who cares about what I said and cares about what I think. A lot of times we're that way with God. We've forgotten how much He has loved us. You have forgotten how much He has loved you and what that means. Look with me at the first verse, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. Now verse 10. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, sometimes I wish that we preached in fields. So we got to look at God's creation. Or we could throw the windows up so we could at least see the grass and we could see the trees. Or we could take the roof off so you could see the sky. And remember who God is, what He has made, what He has done. When you think of the sky stretching clear across, and you think of the hills, and you think that God made those and He's holding them together even now. When you look at the reality of the cloud blowing across the sky, and you realize that's God working. That's God taking water somewhere else. Someone else that needs it. You see the reality of Him everywhere. In holding this all together, you think about how huge He is, that there is no place that He is not. And then you think that this same God who has made all this has loved you. Loved you enough to give up His Son. Now, so often, people make a statement and you want them to prove it. I had friends who would make these bold statements, or I could climb this, or I could do that. And you would simply say, well, prove it. Show me what you can do. Well, God said He's loved you. Do you say to Him, prove it? Well, He has, hasn't He? He has proved His love for you and even shown you what love is. This great and glorious King by giving His only Son. What do you rely on from day to day, moment to moment? What do you trust in from day to day, moment to moment? When you go skydiving for the first time, they give you an 8-hour class teaching you everything that can go wrong and all the ways that you could die and the ways that you could fix it if you have a chance. And then before you know it, you're sitting in a little plane with a bunch of other nut bars who are terrified, flying up and up and up, and then one by one, there's conversations up front and people disappear. And then, before you know it, you get to the front and this man says, "Get out of the plane!" With all boldness and authority, "Get out of the plane!" And you look down and you see giant fields that look like little rectangles, and you see little houses, and you see things that look like ants, but they're cars going along the road. And there's nothing between you and this. And at that moment you decide, do I trust this parachute? Do I trust this thing? Well, in your life and moment to moment as you're called to obey God, the question is, do I trust this God? Now, as you have these decisions to make, do I obey His Word? The real question is, when you're deciding whether or not to obey, is do I trust God? Do I trust what He said? Because what He has said is good? Because does He really love me? Does He really have my best interest at heart? Do I trust Him? See, this plays out in your life, living moment to moment, but it also plays out when you consider your salvation. If you've trusted Him to save your soul, because you weren't sitting in an airplane with your feet dangling a few thousand feet up, you're sitting at the edge of the abyss with your feet dangling over hell. And you had to decide at one point in your life, am I going to do this myself, or do I give up and trust God to save me? Do I rely on Him? So this pans out in this way. If you trusted Him to save you, and if you really trust Him with your soul, won't you then trust Him moment to moment with every decision of your life? And if you don't trust Him enough to obey Him, are you really trusting Him to save you? This is something every one of us needs to wrestle with. And we are called to live through Christ. And yes, as I said, it deals with our salvation, but also our moment to moment. Because our salvation changes our life. It changes our moment to moment. So where are you moment to moment? Every time He says, jump, get out of the plane. Are we doing it? Are we living it? Are we loving one another? Because it's what He has said to do. That's what we have to wrestle with, and that's what we have to struggle with, and that's the way we need to examine our lives. So we live our lives with this awareness that the King of the universe has loved us enough to give His Son to save you. And sometimes, I hope you get a glimpse of how small you are. For me, one day I had walked out of a church building. I looked up and there was this terrific storm brewing. You know, sometimes the clouds look close, but sometimes they look far away. Well, sometimes you see this depth of the heavens, and you see that you're looking for miles and miles and miles out into the sky, and there's a rumble. You get this idea of the strength of God, and you realize He could kill me right now. You know, and although you're sitting safe and secure in a warm church building with a roof over your head and there's no thunder clouds, He could take you right now. He's that big and we're that small. Or you stand on the edge of this ocean and you look and you see how far, and you realize it's huge, and God's big, and we're that little. But He has loved you. But this huge God has given His Son to save you. So we see God has loved you, and what's our response? Our response is to be to love God. And how do you do that other than living through Christ? Look with me at verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. See, this loving each other. James and I were talking, we're driving down the road, and there was a fist fight in a parking lot, and we're talking about the ugliness of a fist fight. I was saying, it's the opposite of what God has told us to do. On one hand, you have love your neighbor, and when you're in this fight, you're trying to destroy them. It's ugly. It's disgusting, and when you're there, you know it. You know it's ugly. You know it's disgusting, and when you hate your neighbor, I hope you feel it, and you know it, that it is ugly, and that it is disgusting. Well, as we may say to God, prove your love, and He has. The scripture here says, you say you love God, prove it. Prove it. How do you prove it? By loving your neighbor. Of course, it sounds simple. But it's not. I mean, people are sinful. People are sick. In our Sabbath school class, we talked about how we all have these blind spots. You know, and they make us ugly. They make us stupid. In our theology, we have our blind spots. There's these realities and these truths that we just stick in our blind spots so we don't have to deal with them. And other people have them too. You look at people and you think, how could you be so stupid? How could you not grasp these things? How could you not grasp these truths? How could you do these things? Well, they've suppressed them, haven't they? And they put these things in their blind spots. And despite these blind spots that they have, and you have too, you're called to love them. You're called to prove it. Prove your faith. Prove your trust. Prove that you really love God. Prove that you put your faith in the Son. By loving one another. When it talks about, it shows that we rely on God and we rely on Christ. The word there is the same word for our faith. And At first I didn't like that they took faith out and they didn't use the word faith, having faith in God, but relying on God. But I think I do like it because faith is the idea of it. You know, people talk about faith this and having faith that. Daytime talk show hosts will talk about faith and whatever. Just having faith. But this is really relying on Christ to save you. You sit down and you rely on the pew to hold you. You get in your car and you rely on it to bring you to worship. It may or may not pan out. But if you're really relying on Christ to save you, you can rely on Him and love one another. And this is how you prove it. You test yourself. Test yourself to see if you really love. Test your attitudes towards people. Test your interactions with people and groups of people. Now please look with me at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. See, knowing God, the idea of knowing the King of the universe and Him knowing you, not a casual relationship, as we talked about last week, acknowledging Christ or confessing Christ isn't giving Him a polite head nod as you walk opposite directions down the street. Knowing God is an intimacy. And I am so grateful for the job that I have. Study God's Word and to find out what He has said and have Him continuously work on me. Like a lump of clay sometimes pounding on the table. But to really work on me. And you, it said you know God. And that relationship should be growing. that relationship should be increasing more and more. Because it's this knowing God is also an evidence or a fruit of your salvation. Again, it's part of who you are. Again, it's a part of living through Christ. Now, and we have this great illustration about knowing God and God knowing us, and it's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. And this is talking about the day of judgment. Christ said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?'" So these guys did a lot of impressive stuff. Jesus said, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." See, you can do a bunch of good stuff. You can pretend like you love people. You can smile at people politely. You can even give them polite hugs or send them cards. You can get up in a pulpit and preach. You can lead a class and teach. And not really know God. Not really be known by Him, and not even be saved. See, we're called to love one another. We're called to live through Christ. And that brings an intimate relationship with God. That should impact us. That should change us. Should change the way we live. It changes the way we look at the world. We don't just see disgusting sinners, but we see lost people who need Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? Who did Jesus hang out with? Just the best, you know. Did he just go to the synagogue? Did he just come into gatherings and just hang out with the best, the comfortable people? Or did he eat with tax collectors and sinners? He went among them. He got his hands dirty. And he loved. And that's what you're called to be. I want to say somewhere someone has written, because I'm missing the verse, but it talks about the confidence that we will have because in this world we are like Christ. And Christ went and dealt with sinners. And you are called to live through Christ. The energy that you get, I know a lot of you are tired. I know a lot of you are beat. I know a lot of you have studied hard. You might have rotten roommates that keep you up late at night, or kids that keep you up at night. But the energy that you have, the love, comes through God's Spirit. Look with me at verse 7, then we're going to go to 12. "Dear children, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Verse 12. "No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us." See, we live through Christ by loving one another. So first we see that God loved us. As a response, we love God. And another fruit of that is loving one another. Now, this is something that is mind-boggling to me. Verse 12. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us." That is mind-boggling. "And His love is made complete in us." So, your King, the King of the universe, sent His Son to die for you and save you, and does this incredible thing, saving people from every nation throughout history, clear to now, to the end of the world, and somehow what you do completes this. Verse 12. No one has seen God. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. You see, Jesus came to die and save us, but that wasn't the end of the work to be done. And we see here a work being completed, not your salvation being completed. Jesus Christ did that. But just like Moses, when Moses got to go up and be before God, and God's glory was there, and it shone on him and somehow charged him up with God's glory, so that he went out, was around the people, his face was shiny and freaked everybody out. You know, God's glory went on his creation and shone from it that way. The angels, you know, Gabriel was able to stand and shine, and people would fall at his feet, and he could say, "I am the one who stands in the presence of God." So just like this glory went into his creation and shines out of his creation, so God's love, as that you are exposed to it, so this love that comes on you as you are taking part in the sacraments, as you are going to the Word, as you are sitting under the preaching, as you are being exposed to God's love, it is to so permeate us that it shines from us. It drips off of you. It gets on the people that you're around. God's love, because He has loved you. It has transformed you. You are able to love Him, and you are able to love other people. Now, is that what people say about you? Is that what your congregation will say about you? Would they say your name and think, "Now there's someone that loves"? Will your neighbors think of you and think, "Now there's someone that loves"? Little children, do they want to be around you because you are someone that loves? You see, in this way, God's love is completed in us as it goes forth, as you express it. You know, like a psalmist said, keeping the Lord ever before Him, this is where we need to be. This is where we need to be, remembering the sacrifice, remembering the love that was shown, remembering that you have been blessed and the Spirit actually lives in you, and you have been loved. It is in this way we live through Christ. It is in this way that we experience Him. And in verse 14, "And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent out His Son to be the Savior of the world." If you are transformed, if you have been saved, you too are called to testify. If you have been loved, if you have been born again, how else do you love one another? How else do you love your congregation if not building them up in the gospel and in what Christ has done? How else do you love the people out there without bringing them the gospel and bringing them what Christ has done? You know, I was shocked to find that the word that they use for hatred can actually even be an indifference. An indifference towards people, an indifference to God. You know, do you hate God? Well, people who are just don't care one way or another about God, they're indifferent. And it can be actually said that they hate God. If we are just indifferent about people, it can actually be said about you that you hate them because you're allowing them to march to hell. Do you love someone that you're allowing to march to hell? Do you love someone if you have the crucial medicine that they need and don't show it to them? Tell them that they need saved. Do you love them? If you don't, what does it say about your love for God? says you are a liar and you have not loved God. Live through Christ with confidence. Verse 13, we know that we live in Him. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And verse 17, in this way, love is made complete because made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like Him. Can you imagine having confidence on the day of judgment? Can you imagine being put before the throne of the King of the universe and having confidence? It is a struggle to imagine. It is a frightful thing for me to think of, but the Scripture tells us we will have confidence. And if you can have confidence before the judge of the universe, how much more so can you have confidence now? How much more so can you have confidence as you love the unlovely? How much more so can you have confidence as you bring the gospel to unbelievers? You who can have confidence before the throne of God can have confidence before man. Living through Christ, proclaiming what He has done, proclaiming what the Father has done, then and now in you and in the world now. How much more confidently can you love one another as you live through Christ? How much more confidently can you proclaim Christ as you live through Him? How much more confidently can you love God through Christ? If you can stand confidently before the throne. So this is the call. Live through Christ. Live through Christ, putting Him ever before you. What He has done, who He is, the fact that His Spirit lives within you, enabling you, strengthening you, giving you confidence to do what needs done, to proclaim Him, and to love one another. Pray with me. Our God, again, we thank You for Your Word. Our God, again, we lift this congregation to You. Our God, we lift every family represented here. Father, we all have those who don't know You. We all have those who are lost and those who are marching to hell with their fingers in their ears. Father, and I pray that You make us confident to proclaim Your love and to proclaim Your grace. Father, I pray that You give us hearts that love enough to proclaim Your truth, to draw others to You. Fathers, for parents who don't know You, for mothers and fathers that don't know You, for children that don't know You, for brothers and sisters and cousins that don't know You, and who are marching to hell. God, so stir Your love in us that we will love as You have loved us, bringing Your Word and bringing Your truth. God, and may You be glorified as souls are saved and hearts are turned, and as Your fellowship is added to. God, please so move us. Please so move us to proclaim You and to live through Christ. God, for how else will we have confidence before Your throne if we have not lived like You in this world? God, may we have confidence in what You have done. Father, and we lift those who can't be here and those who aren't here. Father, wherever they are, we ask for Your blessings on them. We pray that You will draw them close. We pray that today they will hear Your Word, and today that they will be in Your rest that's been made possible through Your Son. Lord, for those of us who are sick and struggling with all different health issues, for blood pressure, for sugar, God, please help us. Please help us and heal us. God, and may you be glorified in this fellowship as we love in your name. It is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.